Hello, and welcome to the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining us. This is where you'll hear what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing and talk to interesting people involved in entertainment here. This week, we're talking with Mark Comstock and Phil Shortell about West End Productions' Irish comedy, Da. But before we do that, let's take a look at the calendar. The Silver Players will be acting up Tuesday, May 1st at Albuquerque Little Theater, and Steel Magnolias continues its run through May 6th at Albuquerque Little Theater. May 3rd through May 26th, Black Box Theater and Arts Hub will present 10 short performance art pieces for audiences of 10 people who get to decide what they want to see. Don't miss this creative, interactive theater experience. The Desert Rose Playhouse presents Poison, May 4th through the 27th. New Mexico Young Actors presents From Hair to Eternity, May 5th from 6 to 8:30 at the North 4th Performance Space. Also on May 5th, the New Mexico High School Musical Theater Awards program presents their Enchantment Awards at Popejoy Hall. May 5th and 6th brings Ballet Repertory Theater's Food for Thought, A Feast in Dance, to the Chemo Theater. And May 17th, Del Oro Productions brings Tarde de Oro to the Chemo, musically celebrate the unique history of New Mexico. May 8th brings Les Miserables to Popejoy Hall and continues through the 13th. Black Coffee continues at the Adobe through May 6th. From May 11th through the 13th, catch the Albuquerque Theater Guild's Playwright Circle Staged Reading Festival at the Adobe. May 12th, Musical Theater Southwest will hold an audition workshop for the upcoming musical 9 from 10 a.m. until noon. Also on May 12th, Elite Dance and Theater presents Sleeping Beauty at the North 4th Theater. Death Trap opens on May 18th and runs through June 10th at the Ox Dog, and Rosemary Zybert's City Mice will undergo a staged reading at the Ox Dog's X Space on May 21st. West End Productions' Da opens May 18th at the North 4th Performance Space and continues through June 10th. On May 25th, the Full Monty opens at Albuquerque Little Theater and appears until June 17th. And Moon Over Buffalo opens at the Adobe on May 25th and also runs through June 17th. Mother Road's Secret will be out as Around the World in Less Than 80 Days, The True Adventures of Elizabeth Bisland and Nellie Bly flies into the Keshet Center for the Arts and stays through June 19th. Auditions are coming up for The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime at the Vortex on May 5th and 6th. And now join me in welcoming our special guests, Mark Comstock and Phil Shortell. And this afternoon, we're going to talk with Phil Shortell and Mark Comstock about an Irish ghost story. Well, would you describe it that way?
I don't know. It seems to be that way at some times, but in reality, I think I am still living in my son's head.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the ghost of the father, and the closure with the son, and it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And it's called
Da.
Yeah. D-A.
Da or Da? Da?
No, Da.
Da.
Because I was scolded by my Irish dialect coach mm-hmm. that it's Da as in daddy.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Da.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's playing at the Adobe.
Oh, no. It's actually at West End Productions at North 4th.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm used to associating you guys with a different house.
You see, yeah, well, you know, yeah. We are ubiquitous.
but yeah, and it opens May 18th through mm-hmm. June 10th with a preview on May 17th.
Right.
All right. West End Productions at mm-hmm. the North 4th. Okay. So let's talk about that. We've got Charlie, who's got a secret, and we've got Da, who is living in his head.
Well, I don't know if we can say Charlie has a secret. Charlie just has had a somewhat ruffled relationship with his father over the years.
Yeah, complicated as fathers and sons or fathers and children or parents and children are.
Yeah.
And after his father passes, he goes back to kind of clear out where they lived and just brings up everything. So it's a memory play, too. I mean, that's you know,
really
past and present. And
we skip around over
decades.
My God, decades, literally decades. You know, 35 years, I think, is the range of the different interactions that happen between all of us in the cast.
Wow. Yeah, because while I'm Charlie and Phil is Dad, we have James, who plays young Charlie. And so it's like at one point... we're all three on stage, so it's kind of like the ghosts in my head, including my younger self and my deceased dad.
And let's not forget Mom.
Yeah, Ma, she's in there too. Yeah,
and Mary Tate.
Mary Tate, the one of the first loves of his life, and then the drum who gives him his first job,
mm-hmm.
Which is Frederick Pavlov. So there's a lot of important characters in their life. That's where they kind of
exactly
touch on.
Important milestones in what made him the man he is today, and what's going to happen now that Dad's finally gone.
Yeah, because Charlie moved to London, so it's kind of that trying to escape your past and who you are, but never really acknowledging that who you are. You know, it brings him to terms with all that.
And the play is actually semi-autobiographical by Hugh Leonard. It's very close to home to him when he wrote it. So I imagine he had, like, as Mark said, like all relationships between fathers and sons, they have their inconsistencies.
Inconsistencies.
Yes.
Interesting way to put that. Now, Charlie makes this visitation, I guess, is a way to describe it, on the day he's burying his father. Is that correct?
That's
Yeah, comes in the night before and mm-hmm. has the mass, and then he wants to be done and out as quickly as possible.
But he's prevented.
Well, he's prevented by the memories somewhat, but he's cleaning up. He's, you know, getting rid of all the things that are there in the home.
All the things that make a life. 80 years they lived in the in this small house, and it's got to get rid of it. And there's even references to things that Charlie thinks are important of saving, his birth certificate, disc of it, and Dad's like, well, what about this and this? And it kind of goes to show you how you miss each other, too, on what's important in life.
Mm-hmm.
Pieces of paper versus things or memories that were more connected to Dad that might have more resonance for him mm-hmm. than to Charlie.
Yeah, the tug-of-war team.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, my father has been gone for about 30-some-odd years, so I've been there. And your father, I would suspect, Phil, is good health.
He's been gone for about 15.
15.
And my father is 2 years Phil's junior. So, and still doing, both my parents still active. They're up in Denver doing that. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you have an opportunity that Phil and I perhaps don't in living through this particular production.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, as my father's gotten older, there are things in this play that are kind of connecting me with him in a different way because my dad's still with me,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to miss any moments that you can, but you still have those things that make your relationship what it is. So I had the pleasure, too, when I was fresh out of high school, of doing the play Tribute, where mm-hmm. we got to play father and son.
Mm-hmm.
So
you actually got to be on stage with your father.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool indeed.
But I wanted to do that with my son many years ago in A Thousand Clowns, but he didn't want to do it.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, my son doesn't want to be on the stage that way. He wants to be on the stage musically, but not to act.
Yeah.
One of the trip-ups, I think, in father-sons working together is the difference in opinions in how things run.
What differences of opinions, Mike?
Well, it was just prior, a couple of days prior to my father's death, that I realized that there could be differences of opinion, but they didn't have to be separative differences.
No, they shouldn't be.
Yeah. And so what... I'm not saying that we had a bad relationship. It's just that we were not as close on an adult-to-adult level.
Mm-hmm.
It was always child-to-adult level. So how does that play out in that?
It's definitely there, because I think there's no matter what the age is, there's always those times where you go back to your home, and all of a sudden, if you're the kid, you're the kid, and they're the parent, even though those roles have started to kind of even out. Yeah. But there's some really nice moments of that where, you know, Dad thinks he's doing the right thing, and Charlie's frustrated that he's not seeing him as an equal, and Dad always gave him money for little things here and there, and Charlie wants to kind of pay him back, and Dad's like, why?
Yeah, you're not supposed to pay me back. I mean, that's my job.
But I want to.
I know. And that's the whole thing, as Mark mentioned, it's essentially a comedy, but it's also got some extremely warm scenes and some heartbreaking scenes in it. But you should leave the theater with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And feeling good.
Feeling good.
So you're not laughing at the characters then?
Well, you'd be laughing at the things that happen, the events that happen. Yeah. Some of them are outright, you know, fall down laughing. And, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes in the rehearsals not to laugh at what is being said by one of the other people. But, you know, of course, that's the job, is not to laugh.
The question is, are they laughing because this character group is presenting a humorous situation, or are they laughing because they recognize themselves in that?
I think that is going to be it. I watched an interview on a London revival of the play, and the person who was playing Dianat said, you know, if you come to this play, you will laugh. If you've ever had a father, you will laugh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's you know, while the story's kind of semi-autobiographical, like Phil mentioned, there's universal truths in all relationships, whether it's with your mother, your father, your buddy. So hopefully there's some things that, regardless of the nationality and location, that are universal.
Yeah, it's going to be done with Irish dialect for us, of course. But it really is a universal thing. You don't have to be Irish. And the one thing about this, I would say, since we're telling everyone it's an Irish play, it doesn't end badly. It's one of those rare things, an Irish play that doesn't end badly.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing.
Knock wood.
Yeah.
Knock wood. Well, that's the difference between the play and the performance.
Correct.
So, and that's up to you guys.
It's up to us and four other people, too. Yeah. Six other people.
Six other people and Colleen McClure, our director.
Right.
Speaking of six other people, who's in the cast?
Well, we have Tim Riley, who plays Oliver, which is Charlie's mm-hmm. best friend. Then we have Ma, who's played by Jessica Osborne. Mm-hmm. And then young Charlie is James Patton. Drum, who gives Charlie his first job and is kind of a mentor, is by Frederick Ponslov. And Mary Tate, one of his first loves, Ashley Reed.
And my employer?
Yes.
My employer, Mrs. Prynne, Carolyn Ward, plays her part.
Yeah. So we've got a good group of people, some I've worked with before, and some I'm really looking forward to and having a great time working with.
Yeah, James is a 19-year-old freshman at UNM right now.
Yeah.
And he does a hell of a job.
He really does.
Well, I think on the cast, he's the only one I don't know haven't met, or perhaps I haven't just.
And you may not get a chance after this because he's moving to New York to study. I guess probably in August.
Okay. Wow, that's
art school back in New York. So yeah, we're lucky to have him. And
is he from New York?
No,
I think he's here.
He's here. Yeah, okay.
He interviewed at SUNY Purchase for their drama program, and he was accepted. And so he's going.
Yeah, but he's just got a lot of talent. He's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Good. Well,
I hope everybody is fun to watch. I mean, the situations themselves go from funny to sad and back again, and... And I think everybody's going to enjoy it. And as I said, and I can't say it enough, you will recognize this in your own life. It may not be the same words that are spoken. It may not be the same location it was spoken. But it's going to be something that happened to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the important thing in my mind, and I hope your director's mind, would be that you inhabit these characters, or vice versa, they inhabit you, to bring these emotional swings home.
Yeah, you know, I think Colleen has a strong taste on the material, and we all bring a little something in our instincts to the table, and it's just kind of then making sure that we're all in sync like you would do with anything, and make sure that that's... Because when you're all in sync, as you know, then everything does click and everything does become clear, and that and the director's point of view and the playwright's point of view are all there.
And then whatever talent we bring to inhabiting, as you said, these characters, it all comes through in the end.
Very nice, very nice. A little short today. What else would we add to this? What do you want the audience to know?
Well, West End Productions, I guess we could talk a little bit about that. West End Productions was founded a little over a year ago. And their sole purpose is bring onto the stage here in Albuquerque plays that originated in the British Isles. Uh-huh. So every play that they do has, that's hence the West End Productions name, comes from there. They've done, they just did a lovely job on a show called The Effect. Uh-huh. Let's see, what else have I seen recently?
Educating Rita.
Educating Rita, and She Stoops to Conquer. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're from all different eras, too.
Right.
Abigail's Party.
Right.
And they do a good job, and North Fourth is a very nice venue to watch a show in.
It's very nice to work in, too. I've done lights for a couple of different shows there.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
it's a very nice facility. Lots of room, easy access for both.
Yeah, we're doing something a little bit bigger set than they're used to doing there, because we have the house that... that everybody lives in there has got to come onto the stage, and that's going to be something that hasn't been done too much on at West End. It's going to be a rolling platform. Not that it moves in the show,
right?
But it has to get off after the show because of the other things that happen at West End at North Fourth.
So I'm familiar with that concept.
Yes.
was involved with the show that moved in and out every night.
It's I think we strike every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's why everything's on wheels, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's just kind of part of just being doing theater, right? I've got a garage, let's do a show. So, you know, you jump in where you have the venue and do whatever it takes to get it up. And you can find out more about West End Productions and get tickets at westendproductions.org.
Mm-hmm.
So tickets are on sale.
And we'd love to see everybody come, because I really believe, honestly, that you will leave with a smile on your face.
Well, that's a good thing to do, leave with a smile on your face. Let's leave this with a smile on our face. It seems to be a good place to...
Sounds good to me.
...to go for the day. So, gentlemen, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having us in, Mike.
That does it for this week's show. Join us again in weeks to come when we'll talk with other interesting people in Albuquerque's theater world. This is the place where you can keep up to date on what's playing and hear special features like performance interviews and learn a bit of insider knowledge. If you're enjoying our programs, please like us, comment, and share with your friends on other social media platforms. Until we're together again, go see some live performance art, and we'll look for you right back here next time.